Hello and welcome to the 105 Football Weekly Podcast. This is the show where we take apart all of the interesting bits from this week's football shows on Cambridge 105 Radio, and we'll have a little chat about them. In this week's episode, we'll be covering Great Shelford and their recent successes in the Cambridgeshire County Leagues. Jose Lima from Cambridge United Futsal will be filling us in on the new changes to the futsal division and Cambridge's chances in the NFL Premiership North. First up on today's show, from the Terraces team, review Cambridge United's 1-0 defeat to Salford on Saturday.
I would say, like, you know, perhaps managers have sussed us out. I think sometimes, as I say, we're at fault ourselves more than anything. And we've been saying for weeks and weeks, Tim, you know, we put our chances away and all this kind of negativity, it disappears quite quickly. But when results kind of aren't going your way, you know, wins are becoming draws, and, you know, draws that we should have had yesterday as the bare minimum is turning into a defeat. And then questions will be answered, and it will be answered of the manager, which, if you go on social media, and of course the outcry is always a lot stronger when things are going badly than when they're going well. And you see the outcry at the moment, you know, people saying that, you know, it's some of the worst that they've seen since Sean Derry, which is absolutely baffling. And you know, I will defend Colin to the hill, because it's definitely not as bad as it was under Sean Derry, that's for sure. And what people watch, if they think it's that bad, is beyond me, because, you know, we'd have only had one shot on goal under Sean Derry in some games. You know, we had a couple yesterday. We could have scored three goals in that sort of 20-25 minute spell, and people seem to forget about that. And yes, it's incredibly frustrating, but, you know, we are where we are. We're 16th at the moment, and that's because we are a 12th to 16th team, because if we don't take our chances and, you know, we don't defend properly, we will get punished, and that's what's happening at the moment. So, you know, a bit of realism has kind of sunk in, and I think, you know, some realism needs to come through as well in some fans, that, you know, Colin needs to sort out. I still don't think it's quite his team. And we've got to give him another chance, you know, maybe another January window or a summer window at least to, you know, get the score that he particularly likes. And hopefully, you know, he can see that he has probably made one or two mistakes in terms of some of the personnel that he's got in, you know, not having an out-and-out winger, or only having one in Harrison Dunk, for instance, you know, and it is kind of hampering us at times, not being able to rely on an option, you know, having two wingers on the pitch, which, you know, it could help us. But it's all a learning curve for him, you know, from what his team's limitations are. And obviously he needs to get it right, and get it right soon. But we've got a tough game Saturday against Exeter, always a good thing to try and bounce back from. You know, they're a good side, they're near the top of the league, or are top of the league, or second, I think, actually. And, you know, we're going to have to be at our best. And, you know, one thing I think this squad is quite good at is when their back's against the ball, they do put in a half-decent performance when, you know, they're under pressure and, you know, they're playing a good side. So they're going to have to work hard Saturday, because if they don't, and defend well as well, because if they don't, we'll get beat probably 2-3-0.
It's interesting that you say, like, you expect things to get better. Is it just that I don't think we're that good, I don't think we're that bad. Is it just that we are a good team who create stuff and play nice football but don't have any strikers? And also, we're a third of the way into the season now. Like, do you see it rapidly improving in the next sort of third of the season? And is that where you're looking, you'd like to see us kind of rapidly improve in the next third? And finally, from me, just, you asked about Tom Knowles last week, and obviously Tom Knowles wasn't in the team, he was in the team at Soham, but you referred to a lack of an out-and-out winger. Do you think the writing's very much on the wall now for Tom Knowles if he's not even getting into the Baked Bean Trophy team?
Yeah, I think there's something going on there, Stu. I think you're right, and it is a bit concerning that he is, apart from Harrison Dunk as well, you know, they're both the only two sort of considered out-and-out wingers. And, yes, Harrison's playing, and I think he should be starting at the moment, especially if Dan Jones is still out injured. because at the end of the day, Harrison, he put in another good cross in yesterday, which George Maris tamely headed at the goalkeeper. And, you know, he's our only real threat. Carl Noel also put in a couple of good crosses, but nobody's getting on the end of them. And so I would like to see Tom Knowles come in. I would hope he would get a chance. As you say, Stu, I think the writing could be on the wall with him in terms of maybe he goes out on loan. I can't remember if he signed a 1 year or 2 year deal and whether that was, you know, Colin's decision or not. So, you know, it'd be an interesting question if somebody would ask him. You know, the radio cams, our friends, seem very unwilling to question Colin on his substitutions and tactics at the moment, which is a bit of a surprise because I think there could be some answers there. You know, looking over the next third, I think we need to go into the January window and the January period in a you know, a half-decent position. I don't think we're going to get relegated. So we're not a bad team, and as you say, we're not a good team either. If we had an out-and-out goal-scoring striker that was a one-in-two striker all the way through the season, I think we'd be a lot better off. But, of course, they cost money, and that's something that we don't have right now. We kind of struck it lucky with Sam Smith scoring so many already, but you know, has that come to a point where we might have hit his limitations for now? We don't know until, you know, towards January time. But, you know, Mark Richards just looks like he's run out of everything. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but he's just not making an impression at all now. And if he's not doing that, you know, what chance of Andy Dallas and Harvey Nibson getting on the pitch, you know? And this is the worrying thing, is that surely one of them have now got to have a chance. And I think they could make a really good impression with Sam Smith. I suggest that we needed one of them on the pitch, especially when we were on top, to really sort of stretch the Salford defence with a little bit of pace. And Colin just wouldn't do it. So, you know, but as I said before, if we'd have taken our chances, we'd be a little bit higher up and we'd have won a couple more games than what we have done. So, an incredibly frustrating time. I think, you know, we are where we are because we are that good right now. And, you know, we do need to improve. I hope we will improve. I hope when the injury situation gets a little bit better with some of them, you know, Colin will have a bit more to choose from. But, you know, if we're going to single out players that could make a difference, I think, you know, you can definitely point at Samir Carruthers for making a massive difference when he comes back in. But again, the issue is are we going to rush him back because we're in the situation where we need to win, and he's going to break down again like Liam O'Neill did because we were short on bodies in the midfield area for yesterday. So, and that's something we can't afford to do with one of our more sort of creative players. So who knows, but I'm hoping going into the January transfer window, we, you know, we'll be about 14th, and it'll be, you know, a few wins here and a few defeats there as well, and, you know, but at least we'll look a little bit comfortable possibly.
Just picking up on a couple of things. I mean, it is unfortunate, you know, we, with our home record, bouncing back against Exeter may not be the easiest thing in the world. But as you say, we've seen it where sometimes that adversity and against a better team, and you know, we seem to manage to pull it out of the bag there. The other thing you mentioned this when you were talking earlier, and again about substitutions, and one of the things that I kind of pleased me about the way Calderwood approaches the game is he's not afraid to make substitutions, sometimes very brave ones, when we're chasing a game and he's put in a second and one, I think he even put a third striker on up front. It was interesting. I just don't see the point risking an injury, putting someone on when the board's just about to go up for extra time, which wasn't going to come up with it. 2 minutes, as you say, I think he got fouled and that was his only contribution to the game. And no, you know, that's no reflection on him, because what on earth can he do in 2 minutes? I mean, okay, you'll get that once in a lifetime moment where his first touch is the one that goes into the back of the goal and everyone thinks Calderwood's a genius, but genuinely, I mean, 2 minutes is just ridiculous.
Yeah, and I think that's the problem. You know, if Andy Dallas isn't putting it in training, then understandably. But if you're trying to get back into a game and you're giving a strike and going three up front just 2 minutes to try and get us back into it, I mean, yeah, it's a crazy decision. It's a crazy sub. And would you not have taken one of the centre halves off as well, rather than Kyle Noor, who's got half a chance of swinging a decent ball into the box for us or for one of the strikers to get on. So it was a baffling substitution. And, you know, as I say, I can't understand what Andy Dallas and Harvey Nibbs have got to do. If you're not going to play them, how can they make a, you know, an impression? Because if they're only going to get 2 minutes at the end, that you can't do anything in that. You need sort of 20, 25 minutes as a minimum to kind of get up to match speed and then try and force something in. And I think, you know, Collins' substitutions at times, as you say, they can be bold, and he has shown that he's not scared to make a change. As you say, it was, I think it was possibly Forrest Green that he put, Oldham, that he put three strikers on, you know, quite early. And it's fair play when he does it. And, OK, it might not always work out, but he wasn't scared to change it. And yesterday, he left it far too long. And, you know, quite rightly, he's taking a bit of flack because the game needed changing just somewhere. You know, we needed to either put three on early enough for some of them to make an impression, get that goal. Because I think if we'd have scored first, we'd have won the game. Absolutely, you know, I just don't think Salford would have got back into the game at all. And then you can close up shop. Then you can take another striker off and, say, leave two up front and, you know, go a little bit more defensive if possible. But it's something I think Colin needs to think about. And as I say, you know, I think Mark Richards does need to come out now. There's no doubt about it. And hopefully Andy Dallas or Harvey Nibbs will come in and, you know, make an impression this Saturday and score a goal. And maybe I'll take a point Saturday, Tim. I think everybody will take a point this Saturday if we can get it. But, you know, the head kind of says it's probably going to be a 2-0 defeat at best.
That was the From the Terraces show covering Cambridge in League 2 and what was another disappointing chance to get back on track. It was interesting they were speaking about Cambridge's striking options and maybe a change is needed because it seems as though Sam Smith is getting all the goals and he's not getting the partnership that he probably desires. Another good point was the boys taking about Cambridge not taking their chances, and when that does actually start happening, I think they should be okay and safe in League 2 for this season. You can hear more from the On the Terraces, which is live at 6 p.m. on Sundays. Next up, we'll be hearing from Terry Ryder and Lee Pacey, the chairman and assistant manager of Great Shelford. They were chatting about Shelford's recent successes and a touch on the club's history.
Great Shelford, we're over 100 years old. We were formed in 1912. I think in early days we were up and down, but never that brilliant. In the early 70s, we were promoted to the Kershaw, what is now the Kershaw Premier, and have remained there ever since. We're definitely the only club over those 40-odd years that have remained there. Everybody else has gone up and down. We've won the league 17 times, which I'm sure is a record. I think we've also won the CAMS Challenge Cup and the Premier League Cup probably a similar number of times. But also, we're still the only county league club to have won the CAMS Invitation Cup, which we won 3 times.
So a deep, deep history, and as you mentioned, reigning champion to the Kershaw Premier as well. Lee, that sounds pretty good, doesn't it?
It is good. It's something that we wanted to achieve as a squad. We've got we had a hell of a squad and still got a good squad. It was a tough time. We had a tough time. We started really slowly last year and were fairly inconsistent, and Linton took the reins and led for most of the season. But we always kept the belief that with the squad that we had, if we knuckled down, that Linton, if they slipped up, then we could possibly pounce on them and take our chances. And the last 10 games, well, the last 11 games, the 11th game we lost against Comberton, 3-2 away. Again, people were writing us off saying that, you know, we've lost our bottle. But the last 10 games, won 10, scored 49, conceded 5, I think, which was a show of character and just shows what sort of squad we've got.
Yeah, certainly did. And winners in, if my research is correct, I'm sure Terry will be able to correct me on this, winners in 07, 13, 15, 16 and 19 as well. You were telling me, Terry, in the green room out there as well, you won the same titles 12 times in 16 years in previous decades as well. What is the secret? Why have Great Shelford managed to be so successful?
Good players is the main thing, but also sort of good management. The club's always been run very well off the pitch as well, albeit with, you know, typical village side with only a few people doing it. But I think the players have always enjoyed playing because everything gets done for them. But I think just before I played, which was over 40 years ago, whoever was managing at the time decided that they wanted to be successful. They said to the committee, do you want a village team or to be successful? They said, we want to be successful. And it's just carried on. But we've always attracted good players.
Yeah, you speak of good players. Am I right in saying there's the likes of Lewis Whitehead and Summer Swinton have been at Great Shelford in the past as well, players who've then gone on to play for the likes of Histon and Cambridge City?
They have, and we're quite proud of that. Not many players leave Shelford for other Premier sides. Some do, but not many. But quite a lot go up the ladder. And we're always, they usually speak very well of Shelford when they do leave, still come back to our end of season dues and things like that. So, yeah, it's something that we're proud of.
But on the other hand, we also get players coming the other way. So players that have been playing in the Thurlow non-prem. I think most of our players have and still could play in the Thurlow non-prem, but choose to play for us because there's a good environment. They want to play with their mates, which only benefits us. So they go both ways. The likes of Rolsey, Lewis Whitehead, and Summer Swinton, exceptional players that have gone the other way. But like I said, players come the other way and come back to us and play with their mates.
Yeah, it's great to hear. And for someone who's in the league week in, week out, assistant and playing as well, what has changed over the years in the league? Because there's so many sides, the likes of Lakeney from Wisbeach, St Mary's, who want to make that step up to Tier 6. Mm. And some have come back down. But equally, there's been clubs that have struggled as well. You look at Barhill last year, won a cup competition, and then they've folded this year.
I think there's... In regards to Barhill and Brampton, it's a shame what happened to them, but I think it was just through... You find at this level, because it's not a paid level, although some teams are paying, but won't admit it, that it's very hard to keep the good players. So the big clubs are always going to come knocking. So in regards to us, we had a good squad at the beginning of the season, and we lost two of our attacking players, young lads that have stepped up. Which you can understand because there's a bit of money about. And I think that sometimes is a downfall of some teams, is that players will leave and go and chase the money. Unless you've got a squad like, you know, like us or Press or Cherry Hinton, where we've got players that could easily go and play in the Thurlow None but choose to play with their mates, which is quite lucky. But that's very, very rare, I think, at our level.
Yeah, Terry, what is the key to keeping a club at this level sustainable? What is the key to making sure that you're winning or you're challenging in the present, but also make sure the club is still going to be there in 10, 20 years' time?
Well, you've got two parts of it. As Lee said, you've got the playing side, so you need management to start with, and then it's over to them, and they run the recruitment of players and bringing in good players. On the other side, you've got the likes of myself and Debbie and others who do the running around. And that's another reason why a lot of clubs go down, because they're reliant on very few people. And those very few people have to sort of do the running around, the organising, raising sponsorship money, because even though it's basically amateur football, it still costs a lot of money to run a football club, particularly if you're in Step 7, which is the Premiership, because there's added things that you need to do, and so you do need a bit more money.
Yeah, no, I completely empathise with you in terms of the local cricket club I play for, Bluntisham. There's a set of five or six people on the committee, and they are really the core of the club. And it is, I wouldn't say scary, but it's quite worrying at times, thinking what would happen if those five or six people didn't exist, and how the club's future would unfold. Someone's been in touch, Nigel's been in touch, saying he made his senior league debut against Great Shelford for TSB Rangers in 1978 as a 15-year-old. He scored to put them 1-0 up. He might be just saying that on radio, and lost 6-1, torn apart by Terry Brown. So any names ring a bell there? Do you remember that game in particular, Terry?
I'm guessing. I might be wrong, but I'm guessing that if it was against TSB, it would have been against Shelford Reserves.
Okay.
Probably, but I might be totally wrong.
Okay. Well, Nigel, if you are, I'm still listening. I'm sure you are. Make sure you get in touch and respond to.
But Terry, yes, I played with Terry Brown. Yeah, he was a very good player. Free kick specialist.
Ah, there
I hear you're a good player, though, Terry. I heard you scored a few goals.
I did score a few.
Okay. Terry was talking to me off air about his goal scoring heights, but he did mention that he'd keep it quiet on air. So we'll leave it at that. I guess people will be listening to this and asking, what is stopping Great Shelford from making that step up to tier six from seven to six?
I think it's fairly obvious, really, because the likes of Fulbourne have tried it before. Because we're on a council-run playing area, you know, the chances of actually getting permission to erect floodlights, you know, some sort of stand-in and segregate it off from the whole park, it's impossible. So the only way we could ever do it is by getting somebody come in and offer us a bit of land that we could build on. But I can't see that ever happening. So, like I said, the likes of Fulbourne have tried it before, and they stayed up for a year, I think, and then had to come back down. And they had a great team at the time, and unfortunately just couldn't make that step up and stay up, if you know what I mean. So there are many teams in our league that are good enough, the likes of ourselves, West Ratton, Cherry Hinton, Press, are definitely good enough to actually go in the furlough none and play and compete. Mm. As you see from result last night, with Press beating two times champions of the Invitation Cup, Ely City, 2-1.
Big shock, yeah. Of course, Ely City, the final, or the winners of that competition last year, so great result for University Press. In terms of this season, though, in fact, before we come on to this season, because we'll talk about how you're getting on this season, how do you see the future of the game in sort of step seven? Do you see it continuing how it is at the minute, and a number of strong sides, I guess, potentially trying to make that step up, or do you see it possibly coming down in terms of ability level?
I've actually been quite shocked this year with the likes of the two teams that have actually folded, because I think it's only going to continue because, you know, it's keeping players' interests. I think the rules change in our league don't help. The likes of the Simbin rules, and they've tried the roll-on, roll-off subs to try and keep everyone happy. The standard of refereeing, I'm not going to go too much on that, so I don't want to get into trouble, but it has to get better. It should get better. Hopefully it will get better. And, you know, if that can improve and the FA, CAMS FA, can look after the local leagues, then I can see it can go from strength to strength. But without that, without the volunteers as well, you know, if you lose the volunteers, I mean, I was shocked because I was playing in the furlough none, and I stepped down to help Bags out at Shelford, and I was shocked at the amount that goes on, because when you're playing up a level, it's all done for you, and then all of a sudden you're having to do everything, put the goals out, and it's just keeping everyone interested, I think. So in terms of where it's going, at the moment, it's on a decline, if I'm honest. And you've got the top four, five, six best teams, and the rest will struggle to get teams out, if I'm honest. But we shall see.
Hmm. We shall see. Terry. Go on, Terry.
Also, I think I mentioned it outside to you, and Lee mentioned referees, but we're lucky we have linesmen.
Hmm.
And the last two seasons, there's been a threat to us having linesmen because teams in the lower leagues are not even getting a referee. If ever that happens, it would be the death of Step 7 anyway.
Hmm. Yeah, really interesting to hear. And if anyone has any thoughts, then please do get in touch. 07919 070 490 is the text number. This season, Lee, how do you think you've fared so far? 1-3, lost 4, fourth bottom, but that doesn't tell the whole story because you win two games in hand and you could go fourth. It's a very, very tight league.
Do you know what? We never start well. We started poorly last year, and again this year we started really badly. But to be fair, the first three games that we had were probably three of our toughest away games, and we struggled, if I'm honest. And it's also to do with player commitment, with discipline. Our discipline is poor. The new Simbin rule, with our players off for 10 minutes here, there and everywhere, which has to get better. I'm just hoping now that we need to go on some sort of a run, get a few points on the board. We've got a good run of games. You know, they're winnable. But no matter what team we play in our league, you know, if you're playing the team that are rock bottom or top, when they play us, it's always their cup final. Everyone wants to beat us. everyone wants to beat Great Shelford. Everyone hates Great Shelford, if I'm honest. I don't know why, because they're a good bunch of lads. I just think it's because they've been so successful. But with Press and Cherry Hinton really setting the pace and really upping the game, we have to do something about it now, and whether that's recruit new players in, but we need to do something to start getting more points on the board and climb up that table.
Anyone who's having doubts about Great Shelford this season, I guess have to look at your recent cup result. Challenged Linton Granta for the title last season, and they're doing okay in the Kershaw Prem, and you defeat them 3-0 in the Camscliffe Bullen Challenge Cup as well.
Yeah. Linton are a good team. They're on a bit of a transition. They've lost a few players, and again another team that have been around for a while and always give us a good game, but we just happened to get one over on them in that cup competition. We just seem to up our game, and hopefully now that could be the catalyst to go on and get some points on the board in the league.
Over came up from Senior A. They're third in the Kershaw Prem at the minute, suggesting perhaps there isn't too much of a difference in maybe standard from Senior A to Kershaw Prem. Where do you see the biggest gap in standard? Where do you see that biggest drop?
To be honest with you, like you said, the teams that have come up are again a bit like us. They've got some really good players that tend to want to stay with their teams to play with their mates. You know, a few of them again have been asked to go and play a higher level, a bit like players in our team, but they want to stay, you know, and they want to stay with their mates and play with their mates and can't commit to the travel. But with the league below, always the top three or four teams would do well in the Kershaw Prem, but same as our league, the top three, four, five teams would compete in the Furlough Nun Prem, no problem whatsoever. And Press showed that last night by beating a good Ely team, you know. So
yeah, it's interesting to see how Over will continue to carry on this season. Played 9 so far, 1-4, drawn 4, but they are third in the Kershaw Premier. Terry, just a final word from you then. What is the future for Great Shelford in your eyes?
I hope it's the continued success. It's carried on for a long time, but if anybody out there, you know, wants to come and help our club, we're always looking for volunteers, whether it's on the managerial side or we've got a good set of managers, and if they carry on, there's no problem. But it's off the pitch with volunteers. You know, most of our volunteers, we're all pensionable age, but as Lee will confess, you know, the other clubs are all in the same position, and that's why nobody's safe, unfortunately. I think as you'll see, you know, Bar Hill, two teams very successful, and all of a sudden they've gone.
Cambridge 105 Radio. That was Terry Ryder and Lee Pacey giving some honest opinions on the Cambridgeshire Football Show's midweek about Shelford and a little more on the lower league football. They made some interesting points about the bigger clubs in the local divisions struggling a bit, for the example, like Bar Hill winning the cup and then the next season folding. So it's causing some alarm bells and showing that there's clearly something wrong to do with lower league football and the money that's involved. And yeah, something to look out for. And also they were speaking about how Great Shelford can't go up due to their facilities and the fact that they don't have the facilities needed to be in the next division, so that's a down point for their season. And they also mentioned the key factor to their club is volunteers and how volunteers are greatly appreciated, and I think that's the most common source of help from any sort of lower league club. Volunteers are a massive part of local league football, and I think if anyone has any spare time, it'd be great to get involved. Next up we have Jose Lima. He came into the Cambridgeshire Football Show midweek to have a chat about Cambridge United's futsal club, and he just filled us in on how the league works now with the National League and the National Series being separated.
But there's been a strange sort of restructuring. You did mention, I think we spoke towards the back end of last season, there was going to be a restructuring. Let's get that sort of complicated bits out of the way first. Last season it was the National Futsal Super League, now there's the National Futsal League and the National Futsal Series. So just explain to us what's gone on over the summer break.
Yeah, it's been a long summer. I'm sort of glad that is over and we can just get on with it. So in the past, the Futsal League or the Super League has been funded by the FA, and what they've done now is they've redirected that funding into a new competition that they call the National Futsal Series. The National Futsal League will stay on, and it is now being run by clubs rather than just a management committee that had no affiliation to any of the clubs that would take part or that have taken part in the past. And yeah, there's just two different competitions. And we've decided to stay in the National Futsal League whilst we welcome change, and we think change was needed in the league. Mm-hmm. We can't quite agree on certain things, and therefore we've decided to stay in the league, really.
And imagine it's a little bit like the breakaway of the Premier League, perhaps, on the FA in back in the 90s in terms of way, but it's all funded still by the FA, your league?
Is not. So the FA have pulled the funding. Luckily, there was a fair amount of funding left over from previous years. And yeah, I guess it is a little bit like you said. It just the model that they've decided to go for, it's not really compatible with what we stand for as a club, really. And you know, a lot of people just before me were talking about volunteers, and it's exactly the same with us. So I'm afraid the bonus by my point might be a little bit tricky to discuss. I haven't got much to offer, but yeah, look, the bottom line is that we rely on volunteers, and really we're all about creating a community club.
Yeah.
And for us, playing home and away games is just not negotiable. And unfortunately, in the National Futsal Series, we would end up playing 16 or 14 games away from home and two games in Cambridge. And in our view, that's not just unacceptable, but is also not going to help our mission, which is, you know, give an opportunity to local players to represent their club in their home city.
Yeah, that would completely, I guess, halt the momentum which you've been trying to build over the last few years.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the thing we've noticed in the past is sometimes our games are a little bit spaced out. We play one game in October, and then the next home game is only just before Christmas, and that's a little bit of a struggle to get people to come and watch. But what that does mean is that sometimes we end up with two or three games in a row. So three weekends, you got three games in Cambridge. And actually, by the third game, we're getting 200-plus people at the university. So it certainly builds momentum, which we just can't really gamble on if we went for two games a season in Cambridge.
Yeah, it's an interesting debate. In terms of the funding, though, you said there's some left over. Is there assurances that can continue over a period of time?
There is, and I think I'm not involved in those discussions from a league's point of view, but they're obviously talking to the FA because they are a futsal provider, and they will hopefully get some funding in the future. But also the league has now got some different people running it that are actively pursuing different avenues for commercialising and getting sponsors, really, because you can't, to be fair to the FA, you can't just rely on support from the FA forever.
In terms of the long-term sustainability of it, we talked a bit about sustainability with great Shelford guys just then. Looking at the league's system at the minute, there's the Premiership North. This is in the Futsal League you guys are in. There's the National Futsal League Premiership North, Premiership South, then it goes to Championship North, Championship Midlands and Championship South. Not many teams in some of the Championship divisions, you know, five or six teams in each. How, I guess, sustainable do you see that, especially when you look at the result on the weekend and Newnham beat Haringey 16-4?
Yeah, I mean, if you compare the two competitions, the National Futsal League has got more clubs than the series. So obviously the series is just one and Division 1 and Division 2, effectively, and Division 2 is split to North and South. So one competition still has more, and I think the National Futsal League still sees, at least the sort of the lower divisions, sees itself as a kind of provider for any club really that wants to enter. Obviously there has to be some sort of bar that all clubs have to at least aspire to get to. That's not always easy, and we face difficulties, and we've been around for 4 or 5 years now, but we do, I think the league will try in the future to accept clubs from different places around the country. So yeah, I mean, there's always going to be clubs dropping out and new clubs being brought in, but I don't quite see it as a problem quite yet. I think there's about 30 odd clubs, and there's probably about 24, 25 in the national series. So there's a good amount of clubs, but as a result of the change, some clubs just literally disappeared, which is a massive shame, because they've been building on for the last few seasons. And unfortunately, this split is not just for clubs; it's for players. It's literally for everyone involved in the game.
And with the two different setups, do you see there becoming a period of time in the future where some sort of happy medium is created and they come back together again? Or do you see this separation as being a fairly long-term project?
I don't know. I mean, if I could tell
obviously
you the future.
Difficult because it's just started, yeah.
It's tricky, and I've always said that they've got a lot of things right in the National Futsal Series, and there's a few things that I'm not saying they're wrong. We're just saying that actually we can't agree with them, or at this point in time we can't commit to.
Yeah.
And that's the same with the league. Although the league has been around for the last 10 years, actually it's a completely different committee behind it now, and hopefully they'll get it right this time around, because there's a lot of things to fix and they are fully aware of it. And to be fair to the departing committee, they've put their hand up and they said, actually, yeah, we did get a lot of stuff wrong. As for the future, I don't know. It is, you know, people say that, you know, with change, sometimes it has to be drastic, and this definitely was drastic change.
Yeah.
And not everyone's going to agree, but look, the community around futsal is growing, but it's not that big. So my only worry is that this is just going to split people one way or the other. But I do generally hope there will be a point in the future where the two can just combine. And because there's a lot of players playing for those clubs that, you know, look at the bottom lines, they want to kick a ball and they want to score goals.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess you've got that argument where you could say, on one hand, you know, it's probably not too sustainable in the fact, like you say, that when futsal is building momentum and you want to get to a certain place where you attract players and really make it a popular sport in the UK, that you've got two separate systems and structures. But equally, it's beneficial to you because you guys are now playing at home and you can build that community locally. So it's pros and cons both ways.
That's right, yeah, and I think, yeah, I mean, there's always going to be like that in any decision that we make. I think, and to be fair, we accept that actually some of the requirements that were put in place by the National Series, we wouldn't be able to meet them. So actually, even if we wanted to play in the series, we'll have to drop down to the second division, and that's always been fine with us. It's not ideal, of course not, because we want to play the highest level. Yes, it's amateur football and futsal, but we do want to play the highest level we can. But then again, we can't just go and build a new sports hall. So unfortunately, the university is just a little bit too small for the court dimensions for us to play in the very highest tier. And you can say that there has to come a time where the FA put their foot down and say, actually, the very top league in the country has to be played in certain court sizes and with a certain number of seats for spectators. And we completely agree with that. And that's why I said to them at the time that if we have to step down to the second tier, we'll be happy to do it. Or not really be happy to do it, but we'll understand why. But I think there has to also be taken into consideration the state of facilities in this country, because there's not that many of them that would meet those requirements.
Let's talk about last season then and wrap up on that. Finished ninth out of 12. But not bad, really, considering for a period of time there was a, I guess, threatening relegation. But equally, you said when you messaged me earlier, there was a number of sides who didn't complete their fixtures. It was a sort of a strange finish to the campaign.
Yeah, there was. I think it's funny because the guys before me, they said they always start poorly, and I think we should probably get together and try and find a solution for that, because I think we always do. And I've agreed to extend the pre-season this season, and he hasn't gotten any better because we lost on the weekend. Last season was a strange one. Look, we always start poorly. I think we struggled a little bit on the recruitment side of things, but actually you can argue that we had the most successful season because we got to the final of the FA Cup. You know, the medal is at home, and that's no one's going to take it. But yeah, on the league, we did struggle a little bit. Arguably, we probably finished seventh. Although I think by the end of May, the committee just for the league just had enough, and they just said, actually, this is it. We're not going to try and solve all the problems of the games that weren't played, and so on. Some teams got expelled from the league, but when you look at the table, they still sit on the table. So yeah, it wasn't ideal, but actually, from my point of view, I think we had one of the best seasons just because of the cup run.
Yeah, let's talk about this season. Then, have you managed to keep much of the squad? You mentioned, I guess, attracting players has been slightly difficult, but you told me in the green room earlier that you got a lot of young players as well.
Yeah, we've done. We ran trials back in June, and we've done things a little bit different where we invited quite a lot of the people that attended those trials back, and that was almost like a bit of a test. But doing that also obviously required us to get a slightly longer pre-season so we can filter out in terms of quality. But that's actually worked really well, and I think we've got 8 or 9 new players, which just makes the squad a little bit bigger than Louise will probably like. But we just know that we got to compromise, and we know things happen, and people can't carry on playing. The injuries happen, so we've been... So far, so good, at least. I don't want to jinx it, but so far, so good this season on the recruitment side.
Yeah, let's talk about the league then. NFL Premiership North. Of course, Cambridge is a very, very northern city.
So is Oxford.
Yeah, they're doing there pretty well. I said one on the weekend. But in that league, there's a number of sides who played in the top tier of the Futsal League last year and a number of teams who played in the second tier as well. So where do you see yourself finishing? Where do you hope to finish?
I'm pretty sure you've asked me the same question last year. the aim has got to be the top four, so we can get to the playoffs. So the top four in the league are to the playoffs against the Premiership South, where first place, fourth.
You might play some more local sides then.
Yeah, potentially. Yeah, it'll be just a trip down the M11. But top four, because actually, if we finish first, then great. But it will not be that much different to finishing fourth, and it's just the end of that those playoff matches that'll count.
I'm looking at full time here. Is your first home fixture on the 8th of December?
It is, yes. So we've got 3 in a row. So the first one is on the 8th, then the 15th, and then we actually try something a little bit different. Rather than being on a Sunday, we'll be playing York on the 21st of December, which is a Saturday, and that'll be 5:30 likelihood kickoff. So we're trying something different, because normally futsal games are played on a Sunday, but we're just trying to see if it actually attracts more people, attracts more children, anyone really, just trying something different.
There you go. So around Christmas time, can't believe I'm saying that, it's October, but around Christmas time, make sure you go to Cambridge United Futsal and cheer them on in the Futsal National Futsal League. Joseph, thank you very much as ever for coming on. It's been a pleasure talking to you, and I'm sure we'll speak more during the season.
Brilliant, thank you. Cambridge 105
Radio. That was Jose Lima on Wednesday's midweek Cambridgeshire football show, chatting all things futsal. It's good to be filled in with all the changes surrounding futsal. Bringing in a community feel really does sound like a big goal for the club, and yeah, I think that's just one of their biggest aims at the minute. If you'd like to hear more, you can tune into the midweek Cambridgeshire football show on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Thank you for listening. I have been Harry Jones, bringing you all the highlights from this week's football shows on the 105 Football Weekly podcast. Make sure to tune into the Cambridgeshire football show this Saturday from 12 p.m. Cambridge 105 Radio.